test.
Okay, so here we go. This Malama test, we learned yesterday the Mitzudas. We did not even go to the Rashi, and then we'll go to some of the Mepharshim. Very beautiful. Look in Pasuk Beis. Okay, so Pasuk Beis, it's on page 352. Pasuk Beis on 352. Amarti Eshmo. Let me just put this on over here. Okay, it's good, it's good. Pasuk Beis, it says, Amarti, page 352. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam sh'hakol nehiyah bidvaro. Amarti eshmo adrachai anachnu hoyi b'libeinu lishmor es atzmeinu al kol atzores habois aleinu shloi meharer. Dovah here is speaking, Dovah is saying that it's a person's obligation to guard himself when Rachmano litzlan, a difficult situation comes upon him. Shaloi, with advice over here, some very, very, very powerful words. Shaloi laharer, unedaber kosho achar midas hadin. A person should never even think, not to think. Isn't the word neharer? It's I don't recall ever seeing the word with a nun, with a mem.
Actually, translates it as criticize.
Neharer unedaber kosho. That's criticize. But what does it mean? The word neharer. I never remember the word thought with a nun. It's usually a mihar, a hirhur, a hirhura.
But and even, then the, even the mem is a prefix.
The mem is a prefix, so nun means to us. I guess when you have mih means for the individual, nun I guess means in the plural. I guess so. It's a regular use, which is we don't usually use it in that context of the plural. Usually it's used in reference to the individual. But I guess ne har hair. Right, everything you have here is in the plural. And good morning, Ablazer. Yep.
No, David expressed it in the singular.
Oh, you're saying good. David is saying the singular, you're saying good. That over here he is anachnu. You're making a good point, Amchal. That Rashi over here is saying anachnu. It's a very rare form of a Rashi. Rashi, anachnu hoya bilibenu. Anachnu was hoya bilibenu. It was in our heart. The grammar over here is a little bit difficult. Lishmor es atzmenu, to guard ourselves, al kol atzorois habois aleinu, with regard to all of the difficulties, shaloi neharher unedaber kosho achar midas hadin. Af al pi shehor rishoim linegdenu, even though the rishom linegdenu hametzedim lanu, even though our enemies are causing us pain. I mean, this is what the Mitzvah Stavit said, but he's saying over here, not really, the Mitzvah Stavit said that it's a private matter. Mm-hmm. We learned yesterday, the Mitzvah Stavit learned that David HaMelech was suffering greatly as an individual. David HaMelech is gravely ill. He has many enemies. They're coming to visit. They make believe, oh.
It seems, lahagot ulaharher, both of them, what you said, lahagot is a positive, the harher is a negative.
Interesting. He's saying that the harher is
both
is
of them
a
in the heart.
Interesting. I hear what you're saying. Very interesting. Avrami Gross, Shalom Aleichem. Good morning. I hope everything is okay. I hope your mother's doing okay. For Shalema. Okay. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Okay, we have over here Nachnu Hoybilibain Lishmar, it's upon us to it's a very, very powerful Rosh Hashanah. A Musa Shmuz, especially Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a very appropriate mission when a person goes through difficult times, a person should never complain. It's very, very hard. I once heard by Shuf Na El Mole Mikra Kosov EF Shola Omrai. Okay, no one would dare talk like this. Avraham Shur, I remember, you know, he said, everyone in this room has tainus on Hashem, has complaints against Hashem. Everyone here has a complaint against Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, you know, it's not fair, and you think you're a tzaddik that you're gonna, you know, you'll tolerate. And they gave a whole musa shmuz, and you know, you can't say he's wrong. I once read in the sefer, a very chashuv sefer, he says that and I think that he says that many people really think that God is out to get them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole day is scheming, planning to get them. You know, it's there's something to it. People go through a lot of difficult things in life. And they're very, very, everyone, no one came here to this world for a free lunch. Of course. Look.
I did this and this, so God's coming after me.
Look at a child. You look at a child. You have to go to a hospital. I once ended up, by mistake, went to visit someone, and I ended up on the wrong floor. It was the floor for children. And I just walked around there for 10 seconds before I realized I'm on the wrong floor. And just being there for 10 seconds in the elevator lobby and seeing some, I still have nightmares. When I saw when the elevator opened up and I walked out into the lobby and I walked around a little bit before I realized in the wrong place, this was the floor for very, very sick children. And I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, like, you know, you see on Shabbos, I go, or I daven on Shabbos, there are people who come, children that come, very sick children. It's just mind-boggling how the parents, how they deal with it with such graciousness and kabel. And it's a whole different life. It's 24/7 dealing with things that some people couldn't even deal with for 10 seconds. And I see parents that devoted, believe uve nefesh, to take care of their children who are in need of 24/7 care. It's unbelievable. So a person doesn't crack up from this. What did the child do to deserve this? 1.5 million children were murdered in the Holocaust. That's just one example of what goes on in this world. What did they do to deserve this? To be terrorized? What did they do? Nothing. So how do we understand this? Emuna. Now just take that and extrapolate to an adult. An adult goes through a difficult situation in life. Well, you're going to have a time, think about all of your averos. Go back and make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, take out your diary, every single evil deed that you've done your entire life, oh, now it's payday. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's no such thing as that. First of all, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Mechila, Kiyata, Melech, Meichel, V'Soleach, La'avonoseinu, U'la'avonos, Amo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives. People forgive. No one can say what I'm getting in this world, I understand why I'm getting it. It's impossible. Use a child as a mashal, just like there is nothing a child could have possibly done to deserve to suffer. And we know it's a fact. There are people out there who suffer like suffer. So too, when it comes to an adult who, Rahman al-Utslan, is suffering, you can't go say, yeah, he deserves it. He deserves it. Who knows what he did in life? Who knows? A person says about himself, yeah, I did A, B, C, D, I did this avera, that avera. Now it's payday. These are Hashem's cheshbonos. It's not a mahalach to live a life where everything has to be oiske cheshbon, because you're going to come to a point in time where you're not going to be able to make an accounting, and there are going to be some loose ends, and if everything has to be oiske cheshbon, you'll say, Hashem, it's not fair. And this is a constant battle in life. We all know it. We all know this battle. And here, David HaMelech, according to Rashi, he's not like the Mitzvah David. He's saying that this is a message for Klal Yisrael. David is not speaking about himself privately. He's giving instructions for Klal Yisrael that when you're going to go and encounter difficulties in life, you have to be very, very careful. Anachnu hayab libeinu lishmar. It is our duty. It is our mission in life to be makabel and not to even have a hirhur, a machshava of complaint against Hashem. It demands from us emuna pshuta in Hashem, which is no easy task, obviously.
But not everybody can do that.
You're right. It's a big problem.
I remember my father had a cousin, came from the concentration camp after 5 years there. She was a woman. She's a woman who was much younger than my father. She was almost my age. And she came, she survived, came to Israel, got married with a husband. But she was so happy, she was start to sing, and her life was cheerful. And suddenly came Yom Kippur War. She had a son and a daughter. The son was killed, and the only son was killed in the Golan Heights. And her daughter was married, and her husband was a prisoner, was wounded, whatever. And after that, her husband got, because he lost the son, he got a heart attack and he passed away. Nothing. And she lived in a kibbutz. So a kibbutz sent her, no, go out of the country, take a trip or something. So she came to visit. She will visit me here in New York. I came to Shabbat. I said to her, I want you to come with me to shul. She was originally from a religious family. Come to shul. Me to shul? I have a long account against him. Never. I will never. Never.
You can't blame her.
You can't blame her. How can I? That's why you have the majority in Israel, or people came from Russia. How can you justify? The long hair, Hamidotash, they not understand. And not everybody can have the Munah.
Baruch, maybe you can tell us the story in your words, what you once told me about after the war, the only difference between certain people and other people was they just, you can say, you have a way of saying it. Tell us the story.
Somebody was the president of the yeshiva, and everybody had a yeshiva at one time. The president of the yeshiva was a chassidish in Yid. Before the war, actually, after the war, he came to America, and he didn't have payers in there, but he eventually became a rabbi in America. But he was once talking about the war. So he had a wife and two children. They lost both of them. So he says his experience was that after the war, nobody,
underline that.
Says, even the biggest rabbis. Nobody believed in Hashem anymore. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. He says, whoever tells you they believe in Hashem is a liar. But what happened was that the people who remained from, they kept quiet. The Edom, they kept quiet. And they held back from complaining or saying anything. They held back. And in that schus, they got back their moon.
Wow.
I told this to someone that after the war, no one had believed in God. No one. And you know, people in this generation, young people in this generation, are really totally ignorant, totally thoroughly ignorant of everything and anything, including myself. They started screaming at me and telling me, out of your mind, there were so many Gedolei Yisrael that in Auschwitz had incredible emunah. So I said, Yechidim Shebi Yechidim. But the Yechidim, there were no Yechidim. The Yechidim Shebi Yechidim, and after what they went through, like when you just, no one had faith, not. The only difference between one camp and another camp was, one camp just went through the motions. They kept their mouth shut, and they went through the motions, and from them today, you have a whole world. Of Yireim Ushleimim. I had a friend once, many years ago, came from a very choshva family, a miyuchas, big yichus, a real, he had real, you saw that he was tremendous koichas hanefesh. But, you know, and he was very, very good, and then, I don't know, something's happened, and he basically was on the verge of going off the derech. He just, like, got into a fight with his parents, and this happened, that happened, and the family was a very large family, parnasa issues, and he cracked up. He must have been like a teenager, you know, upper teens, and he basically, that's it, I had enough of this, I'm out. Chassidish fellow, and before he went, he really went off the derech, he already started doing things that are not so kosher, and before he really just threw in the towel, He went to his Rav, yeah, a certain Rav that he had a connection to a little bit. And the Rav told him, he told him all the complaints, and the Rav said to him, you know, you're absolutely right. If I were you, I would have gone off the derech a long time ago. I'll tell you what. In the meantime, you know, just go through the motions. You go to shul tomorrow. Go to shul tomorrow, you take out your tefillin. Don't think. Don't have any kavana. Take the shel yad, just like everyone else. Just bruh, mumble, put it on, take the shel rosh. Don't think. Just be a robot. Have all your complaints in your mind, but just go through the motions. In your mind, you can be a non-believer. Go through the motions. In the meantime, And later, you know, later you'll make a decision what you really want to do. But don't just. And he listened to him. And today, Baruch Hashem, he's doing very well. And the Raja says, okay, you're a non-believer. But just go through the motions in the meantime. Let everything settle in, let it percolate before you make any rash decisions. And our Baruch is saying that's really how Klal Yisrael felt after the Holocaust. Everyone. This could happen. He said those words. No one, anyone that tells you, oh, they came to America and they're Yirei Mushleim, 90% took their tefillin and threw it into the East River. It was over. That's it. They threw it into the Atlantic, whatever. They came to the stash, they threw up everything. We're done.
But even after, it's over.
If this could happen, it's over. No one was a believer. What was the difference? There are certain, some people, they just have a midah vayidoim aray. It's just quiet. And then time passes. Mashiyase hazman lo yase
hasechel. Can you teach it?
What?
How can you teach this? We sit down, we understand it.
I don't know. You don't know what to say.
Harav Lau in his book, Out of the Dead. So he talks that he went there to visit an Yiddish poet. I forgot his name. And so he went with his father-in-law, Frankel. They went to visit this Yiddish poet who used to be his friend from the Holocaust. And he came to his house, and it was locked. It was closed. And the door was not locked. They went inside, and they saw that Yiddish poet sitting, lying down on a couch, and said, Noach achar ha-mabul, Noach achar ha-mabul, Noach achar ha-mabul.
Mazeh.
He was drunk. And he says, look, we both came from the same experience. I built up Noah came Achar HaMabul. He didn't see the grocery store, he didn't see this, and he didn't see this store, and he said, he's a Shiva, he's this. Everybody was wiped out, and he was there, the only one left in the world. And so what did he do? He drank. So he says, I'm the same way. I feel the same.
Experience the Holocaust, 100%.
So this is one what Abraham Lau built up a family. And you know, seven rabbanim shel harim. One is a chief rabbi now. It's a, you know.
You don't know. It's you don't know. You know, we don't understand anything. Tachlis idea sheneda shaloi neda. Shaloi neda.
Rabbi Miller Zal, he wrote a sefer about the Holocaust, but he didn't publish it. He said it's too soon. The world is not ready for it yet. He published it much later.
And I never read it. No, I heard it's very controversial.
But it was ready. It was all in print. I have it on this.
I don't think it was ready. It was not the final version. That's what they say. It was not the final version.
Oh, no, I heard no. It was his notes. No, but that's not the point. The point I'm making is, he said specifically, the world is not ready for it yet. And therefore, it was not published at that point in time. They can always, you know, do a little fancy footwork in addition to it. His son Shmuel Miller Zal did, and added some to it. But he said, the world is not ready for it yet.
What, wasn't published after
his theory is that anti-Semitism is in proportion to assimilation. That's one of the basic, and the world, you know, was
controversial. It's very controversial type of stuff. This is not easy. It's not easy stuff. A lot of innocent people suffer.
They were making fun of all the Rabbanim. You know, the buses kept going. Every half hour on Shabbos, and every 20 minutes, then every 50 minutes, every 5 minutes, you know, they were going, you know, on Shabbos, you know, full of, you know, Jews.
It's complicated.
They're making fun, except the Varshava Togeblatt was the only newspaper that was loyal to the Rabbanim. the Varshava Tanabot. Otherwise, all the papers were ridiculing the rabbis, you know, like Shalom Aleichem or the sort. They make fun of the rabbis, Rabban. It was going in the wrong direction. Anyway, I mean, that's his.
Yeah.
In proportion to assimilation, so is the anti-Semitism. And
okay.
Unfortunately, it was rampant.
Avigdor Lieberman was in the Gedolei Hadar.
And, you know,
the Gedolei Hadar.
So he can get burnt, you know, together with the. You know,
it's a very holy person. Okay, let's continue. Maxim, next part of the Rashi goes over here. Maxim is a muzzle. We call upon you for your expertise in Old French.
Oh, what page are we on?
We're on page 352. 352. 352. What?
A muzzle.
Okay, excellent. Vinelamnu dumia, and I become a mute. Vinelamnu dumia, I become a mute to the point of complete silence. Okay, dumia means silence, like vayidoim aroin. Vayidoim means complete silence. Yamim rabim begam, for many days. What does it mean over here? What, I guess he's coming over here to Rashi over here is coming to explain what's the repetition. And Sev just saying that we have poetic repetition. Rashi comes to explain the repetition because at first it says, I'm going to put a muzzle on my mouth. Lefi machzim eshvera, lefi machzim be'oid rosh le'negdi, a muzzle. And then it says almost the same thing in Pasuk Gimel. Ne'elamti dumia. What are those? What? That's what I said. That's what Vayidim. But Rashi is now coming to explain what is Pasuk Gimel coming to air that did not already say in Pasuk Beis. In Pasuk Beis, David already said that he's going to put to his mouth a muzzle. Rashi answers, Pasuk Gimel is telling you the time. Putting a muzzle on your mouth is for the moment. For the moment. When the Rasha is, Be'oid Rasha L'negdi, that means when the Rasha walks into the house, I'm going to put on a muzzle. Then it says the ne'elamti dumia. Dumia means not just for the moment. I had to maintain silence for an extended period of time. Next mitoyv. Then we went on to the next words of the pasuk are hechashesi mitoyv. We learned in the Mesudas, not only was I silent not to criticize Hashem to say something bad, I was even silent not to say something good, because if I begin to say, open my mouth and speak, it may lead me to say something bad. Mitoyv afilu midivrei toira. Rashi is not going down that approach. Rashi is saying an awesome chiddush. That David HaMelech did not speak in Divrei Torah midnei year or some, because what is the year? Because of his fear of them, who is he afraid of? I'm not really clear what this means. Umitoyach kach, because of this ke'evenu ne'echor v'nifhol, my pain intensified. So it seems over here he's saying something very, very difficult to understand exactly what this means. He's saying here that David HaMelech is what he means over here is that the goyim are the shmat, this gezeres hashmat, and they do not allow us to study Torah, the Chanukah miracle. Why do we play dreidel? What's the tradition? Whether it's true or not, what's the legend? Whether it's true or not, the legend is because the goyim were coming to inspect, to make sure they're not Jewish education. They were against Jewish education. So they made believe they were playing games. They were playing, they were learning Torah. They were holding their hands, dice or whatever they're holding in their hands, little wooden boxes. And when there will be a sudden inspection, we're not learning Torah, we're playing games. It was a technique. There were times in Jewish history where there was a gezerah, the gezerah of no one is allowed to study Torah. So it seems over here the Rashi is saying that when it says over here Nelamti Dumia Hechashesi Mitoiv, that the Goyim tortured us to the degree where Toiv is a code word for Torah. Ki Lekach Toiv Nosati Lochem Toirasi Al Ta'azoivu, and the Goyim have issued gezerahs to prevent us from learning Torah, and the Goyim succeeded. We were unable to study Torah, And that only deepened our wounds. It only worsened our condition. Our spiritual growth was hampered because of these gezeiros. One more time, mitoiv afilu midivrei Torah. Bimnei yirasam, we were terrified. We were afraid of them. Look at nittel. Nittel, what's nittel? Nittel, you know, I don't know, we don't observe nittel. It's not so common today amongst in our circles, but there used to be on the night of nittel nacht. So there was a takana in certain communities in certain history of time not to study Torah. Part of that is it's not just that you should close the lights and hide because when the goyim come back from church they're drunk and they'll kill you. It's more than that. If they'll see you studying Torah, that's going to really, really, you can stay up, turn on the lights, walk the streets, but just make sure they don't see you study Torah, because that is what's going to ignite their rage. So don't learn. But if you don't learn, then, you know, if you don't learn, then one thing leads to another. You start spending your time playing chess too much. It's not so good. It's not so good. When we talk about ke'evenu nechar, our pain intensified, v'nifhol, and we were confused.
I thought it was not to give credit to.
There are many, 100 reasons. Yeah. There's a whole sefer. So far, a sefer. The laws of Mittelnacht. There are many, many reasons. Uche shasaknu, when we were silent, cham, there's an appendix, how to play chess. In the back of the nursery. And when we were silent, cham libeinu bikarbeinu, our hearts were heated. Uvehegyoin libeinu boyer banu kmo esh. We were our blood pressure went all the way up. Vehu goyrim lanu shanu medabrim b'lashonenu lefonecha v'zohi shanu medabrim. And Rashi's learning a whole different mahalach in these psukim because of our suffering. It caused a reaction, an emotional reaction. We were emotionally worked up, and it triggered our response. Our hearts broke forth with a response. What are the words? The summary of the response of Klal Yisrael to Hashem in this matzav of tzar. V'zohi shalonu medarim hodienu Hashem kitzenu ad mosai nihye b'tzara. How long will we suffer? V'neida mosani anachnu chadelim mimena. How long will we be separated? Well, chadel over here, according to Rashi, does not mean the moch chadel means how long will we be participants in the earth? Yes, yesterday we learned the word chadel, and the Mitzudas taught us that the word chadel is something as choled. He says that the letters should be interchanged. Take the lamed and the dal, interchange them, which then means the word cheled. Cheled means a citizen of the earth. It means society. It means the interaction of man and this land. Rashi says that do not do that. Do not interchange the dalid and the lamed. The word chodel means separated. How long will we be separated from your presence? How long will there be Hester upon him? How long will we be in Gaulis? Now this, Rashi over here is saying an incredible idea, and he's saying that we all know that throughout history there have been many Gedolei Yisrael who have told us when Mashiach is coming. They've set a time. They said that, you know, Tach V'tat, the year in 1648, was Mesugal to be the time of Mashiach, and this is supposed to be Mashiach, and that. And many of the Gedolim and problem is that it's a blatant isser to do that. You're not allowed to go and make calculations when exactly the Mashiach will come, the Geula will come. Yet many Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages have done just that. And many of the...
Why do you suppose that is?
What? Oh.
Why do you suppose that is?
Why did they do it? So Rashi tells you why they did it. So and then everyone came along to explain. No. When the Gedolei Yisrael said when Mashiach will come, Chas v'shalom, were they in violation that it's also l'chashev hakeitz? All they meant to say was there are certain times in history where it's it's mesugal. There is divine favor, and the effort we need to bring Mashiach is less than what we would ordinarily need. Ordinarily, if you need to go higher the best lawyer, a team of lawyers, and pay $50 million to assemble a dream team of lawyers to get you out of trouble, you know, during this tkufa, you can do it yourself. You can go to court, you don't have to pay one penny, except for the bus fare, and just say, judge, I'm innocent, and you'll win. Okay, but let's take a step back. But why, that's all. What's all the Gedolei Yisrael meant to say when they made they revealed different times?
I don't see what's accomplished by that. The reason that it was forbidden to speculate is because of raising false hopes,
right?
And making those speculations, regardless of how you want to interpret that, does that very thing, and we see that it raised
disappointment.
That's right. And it caused tremendous damage.
Correct, in hindsight. In hindsight, it caused tremendous damage because we didn't know how to deal with it correctly. But the truth is, we don't really know what would have been the other way around. These were the people who did these things, who made calculations and told the tzibur these manim. They were very great people. We can't second guess them. And Rashi here is telling us the psychology.
Maybe they just felt it. Times are so desperate.
Oh, exactly, exactly. You have to
give something.
You got to give hope.
Why is it raising the hopes? I think it comes out another case of the ego. You're telling me a time and it didn't happen, and therefore I'm never going to believe again because it didn't happen as you predicted.
That's the danger.
Hopes for that it might come and it's a good time for it.
Zman misugol.
That's what happened at certain times.
And then you get depression after that.
Yes, but that's because they were. All of the later commentators say it is an open violation of halacha to be mechashev the ketz. It's usser. How then did Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages take zmanim and make predictions? That Mashiach, even the Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, he writes. He tells you that certain years, and those all those past.
Yeah, it's a very depressing thing in Kiddush Levana, when it talks about the order of the year. So he says the calendar, the Luach, after 1983 becomes off. It becomes a little bit off. So he says, who has to worry? Mashiach will be here by then.
By 1983. Even the Chofetz Chaim made calculations. Many Gedolei Yisrael, but it's an open book prohibition. It's textbook prohibition. You're not allowed to do that. Obviously, what does it mean? There's no other way to understand it. These are great people. It doesn't mean Mashiach has to come, like we said. It's a zman that's misugal. The effort that we need to bring Mashiach in these times is a lot less than what we would ordinarily need to bring Mashiach. That's all it means. Now, why even do that? Why even do that? That's what Ramachal is asking.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Rashi is telling you. Rashi here is answering that question. Rashi says, Rashi says, Ke'esh, because we recognize the words of Cham, in the beginning of the line, three lines from the bottom page, 352, on Rashi on the left side. We just read this, read it again. U-chi-she-sho-saknu, when a person is forced to hold back and be silent and not complain. And when he's denied the ability to study Torah, he's denied the ability, it creates a reaction in his mind. And it's not a healthy reaction. It causes frustration and it causes desperation. And a person needs hope. He needs hope. He needs to feel that the suffering is for a purpose and there's going to come a point in time when it's over. If you give a person a date when it will be over, you have something to look forward to. And therefore Rashi says, Cham libeinu bikarbeinu ubehegyoim libeinu, and the thoughts of our heart, boyer banu kumoish. We were going out of our minds in these terrible, difficult times of Shema. We're spoiled rotten in America, Baruch Hashem. We have no clue what our ancestors lived through, what the tsaris that they had, what hung over their head. And when you're suffering with such intensity, you're hoping, no, give me some hope. For who goyreim lanu, this is the cause, sh'anu medabrim, bilishaneinu, we can't be quiet anymore, and we complain, lifanecha, v'zuhi sh'anu medabrim, and we say to Hashem, You got to give us hope. And the hope is, when will this end? Tell us a zman that's misugal for our tzarais to come to an end. And the Gedolei Yisrael, who are the representatives of Hashem, did exactly that. And they gave the set zmanim that are mesugal, midarim, hoidienu Hashem, kitzenu, let us know the kates. When is Mashiach coming? Ad mosai niya bitzora, how long will we suffer? Veneda, we will know, mosai niya anachnu, chedelim, veneda, mosai niya anachnu, chedelim mimena. How long will this continue that we will be separated? Don't change the word from chodel to cheled. Chodel means separated mimena from Hashem. Rashi is a completely different world of commentary versus what we learned in the Mitzudos David yesterday. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak.
Mimena is from the tzara.
Separate.
Separate.
To stop. So in this context, it means to. When will it be over? When will, how long is this going to continue? Now let's look at the Radak. Radak. Pasik Beis. We have to go back to Pasik Beis on the previous page, the one on page 351. Three Amarti. Choshafti, Belibi, everyone here seems to say the word Amarti in this context is to be interpreted, I thought. Choshafti, Belibi, She'eshmor, Dirochai, Ratzalema, Minhogai, V'inyonai, K'moy, Me'asos, Dirochecha, Dirochai, Siparti, V'adem L'chem, Mechatoi, V'lushoni, I thought I would be able to maintain, stay the course. Let's just see a little further. Mechatoi, V'lushoni, Shaloy, Adaber, Dover, Asher, Lo, Chein. And I thought I would be able to keep my mouth shut and not say something that is not proper. The word chayin here means kain benois tzlofchad doivers. Correct. Kain sometimes means vayihi chayin. It was correct. Kain benois tzlofchad doivers. The daughters of tzlofchad have said something that is correct. They've spoken good words. So therefore, I thought shaloi adaber dover asher loy chein. I thought I would be able to keep my mouth quiet, shut, and not say something improper. Mitoich tzadi v'chol yi k'moy shenema b'yoif. See, Radak is connecting David here. Amazing, David over here. There's a direct link to Yoif. David over here is Yoif. Who is Yoif? There are many. We have many interpretations. Was Eve a real person? Was Eve a composite of all the people that suffered in this world? Go through Tanakh. Some say that Eve was not a real person. Eve is a fictitious character. Eve is a composite of all of the Ishei Tanakh who suffered. Study Tanakh, and it's a big, nice project to find every member. Take out the Ishei Tanakh off the shelf. And go through every person, study, find a reference to their suffering in this world. Extract that expression, go to Sefer Iyov, and see which perek, in which conversation they appear. It's a composite of all the people who suffered. The Radak is telling us over here, making a link between David's suffering and Iyov, as Iyov says, "B'chol zois leichot yibis fasaf." Eve was able to, it was at least in the beginning, until he exploded, until you explode, you hold back a little bit, every day you hold back a little bit more, another insult, and when it's Nismale Hasa, woohoo, you don't want to be there.
I remember how we learned, Bisfatav Nochata.
Believer.
Yeah.
Okay, he held back. B'chol zois lechat
iya b'sfasav. Hashem's fatai tifta.
Ah.
I know that I'm going to think about all kinds of things in the middle of Shemana Esrei, but at least my lips will.
At least the lips. V'chol shekein b'oid sharoshul neg. Certainly, I should at least keep my mouth shut when the reporters on a hot mic. B'oid sharoshul negi is b'gematria hot mic. And if it doesn't work out exactly, just turn up the volume. You like that? Okay? You don't have to eat another piece of kugel. Just turn up the volume, it'll work out. V'kol shekein b'oid shehorosho l'net negdi, habol levakreini, v'liris ke'evi to see my pain, the A.D., she'eshmura, my A.D. means my tragedy, an aid, the most popular word in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The aid in Yom Aid means a day of tragedy. Their holidays are days of tragedy for the Jewish people because it enables them to issue edicts and gezeiros upon us. Aid means a tragedy. The aid we call a non-Jewish holiday an aid. It's not the right word. A holiday is the opposite of a tragedy. But unfortunately, when a goy has a simcha, it's a tragedy for the Jewish people, because it just emboldens them to make more problems for us. The Eidi she eshmera pi miladaber kiilu machsan b'fi ki afilu shagas hachile she darkoi.
You don't return things money or to them. The yom eidei have
the day of their we it's a euphemism. Yeah. It's a euphemism. The day of their tragedy. When they hear what we call
the downfall.
When they hear what we call their holiday, boy, they get very insulted. Okay, you know, even if you call them a goy, they get insulted. I remember my father truly was a Shabbos goy, and one day after Adam was over, someone comes into the shul. He had an emergency in his home and he needed a goy, so he comes into the shul and he says, "Where's the goy?" And the goy was right around. He was in the room, but behind the beam. He didn't see him. Where's the goy? And I'm telling you, he was so insulted. It's a goy. And I said, could you call me a goy? How can you call me a goy? I do everything for you. I'm a chal shas for you. How could you call me a guy? Okay, they don't like the way we refer to them. Ki afilu shagas hachole shadarko litzayk v'linhoim b'fev mitoich hachole v'yatzar ani eshmar mizeh b'oid rosha l'negdi shelo yismach li. The Radak is saying something similar to what it says. What it says in the Mitzvah Sovet, that David over here says, "I thought," but he's nuancing this whole conversation a little bit different. David over here, I thought I would be able to keep my mouth shut. He makes it a little more it flows much better according to the Radak. It's the same idea as Rashi and as the Mitzudos, but he's saying this when he's saying over here is, I thought I would be able to control myself, but I couldn't. The end was, I exploded. And I said to Hashem, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi. See, according to the Mitzvot, that's not the way how you read the Psukim. David very politely at the end, he says, you know, I made a decision. I made a conscious decision that I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I did. I did. I did what I was supposed to do. I made a decision, I had a plan, and I executed my plan with precision. And now the day is over, and I'm frustrated. So I politely ask Hashem, when I go to sleep, Kriya Shema Al Hamita, Hashem, how much longer is this going to go on? That is not a violation. These words of Hodieni Hashem Kitzi is not a violation, according to the Mitzudos, is not a violation of David's plan. David, I'm making a decision. There are going to be visitors. They're going to come. I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to even moan and groan as naturally a chayla would. I'm going, and there's no violation. And then when we have some free time, David says to Hashem, you know, I've been suffering quite a bit. Is there any purpose in this? I mean, what is the end game here? It's a polite request. The Radak disagrees.
Doesn't know what Hashem said to Moshe.
Good question. I don't have any answers. All when it comes to suffering, there are no answers. There are no answers to these questions. 100%. I don't know. But the Radak is saying a different idea. Radak is saying that David failed. He failed in his plan. It's a little point, but it's a world of a difference. I thought I would be able to succeed and just accept, be makabel, the yesudim be'ahava, and I wasn't able to do it. I failed. I exploded. There's only that much you can take. Every person has a limit, has a breaking point. And David went and breaking point. and he exploded, and he spoke to Hashem with words that the Radak is saying are not proper. I thought I can hold out. And then what happened? What happened? Let's finish further in the next. Nelamti Dumiya. Nelamti Bishtika. I'm Pasuk Gimel in the Radak. Page 353. Radak. Pasuk Gimel. Nelamti Dumiya. Nelamti Bishtika. Kolomar. Kol kach ani shoysekilu ani ilaim. Hecheshesi mitoiv. Afilu midover toiv hecheshesi. Very similar. The Radak is something very similar to the Mitzudos David. Even though my pain intensified, the nishchas, the word nekar, everyone seems to translate means to be destroyed. The pain is destroying me. I still maintain silence. I don't even say nice things. It should not accidentally come out a slight complaint when I'm talking. We talk tzari, period. Then he says another interpretation. V'yesh l'farish hecheshesi midover toiv. Ki lo yovei li toiv shadaber olav. He's saying, oh, something hold him that I held back from a dover toiv. Ki lo yovei li toiv shadaber olav. He's saying nothing good happened to me during this period of time. He's saying that he seems to be saying, hold him shot, is that I held back me dover toiv. I'm not really sure what he means by this. A dover toiv, not words.
No, that I had nothing good to say. That's what he's saying here.
Okay, ki lo yovei li toiv.
That old saying, if you have nothing good to say,
don't say anything. Toiv shadaber, nothing good shadaber love. Oy perush, third interpretation. Hecheshesi al machshavois halev ki ein li oy tikva batoiv. Hope. My hope. Sometimes a person suffers, they say to themselves, be optimistic. Good days, there are good days yet to come. No, I lost all hope. Hecheshesi mitoiv, according to the perush of the Radak, this is very scary. I was silent from hope. I gave up on hope and anything good happening in the future. I was silent. My flesh decayed. I was a corpse. I was a skeleton. My body just disintegrated. My health deteriorated to such a degree that my flesh disintegrated. Cham libi bikirbi mikovid acholi kolka cham libi ad shebahagigi tivar esh ki achoy mayos mipi bahagigi hu cham kemoy esh. Exactly what the Mitzudos David said. The Mitzudos David must have taken his interpretation. He's selective, as he always does. The Mitzudos looks at all the mefarshim and he selects what he likes and he presents it in his words. It's exactly what's happening over here. The Mitzudos David just took from the Radak that the breath. I guess there's a temperature. You take temperature of breath. What is the temperature of your breath? I don't know. There must be some science behind this. That the breath that comes out, you could blow. If you ask a healthy person to blow, there must be a temperature. What is the temperature? If you ask a person who's sick to blow, obviously the temperature is higher. Okay, we don't do that. Today we take temperature, all these new techniques. COVID, they came out with all these, you don't have to touch the person. Don't touch the merchandise. You just stand there and every time you go to a doctor's office, they shoot you right in the head and they know what your temperature is. You don't have to touch the person. It's not so accurate. But the breath, an indicator of what a person's temperature is the temperature of their breath. It seems that's the way they took temperature in Talmud Chazal, not by putting a thermometer in the back of your tongue or other ways. Again, he connects David to Eiv. What is my end? In Kitzi Oduch Kifishnois Adam Espol Adis. The Mamish word for word, just different. Ad Shed Tir Poeni Veye Achakach Bori Avol In Maat Him Yomai. Eshal mimenu, I ask you, Hashem, please, I want to die. Eshal she'omus mecholi mehera. Woohoo! Okay, he's even more explicit in this controversial approach to end of life than the Mitzudois David. Even more explicit, I make a request, Hashem, please, I want to die now.
Request, not an action.
What?
A request, not an action.
A request, of course. Right, that's of course. Right, of course. Now to take your own life. That's categorically also. But there's Shev Al Taseh, and there is praying to die. Such a principle. And yes, Eshal Mimcha Sha'omus Me'acholi Mehera. Ki loy uchal lispol hatzar hagodol mibli tikva acharav bo'ilam hazeh. If there's no hope in this world, I'm entitled to pray and make a request that my misery comes to an end mehera. This is powerful stuff. It's spooky, spooky stuff, what it says over here. And okay, fine. Enough said. Next, okay, the next radak on the next page will fall on me chodel oni toyar is a description. The Hashem im yoshve chodel, he's learning like the Mitzudas. The word chodel is like cheled. She perushoy zman ha'olam hazeh lo adam. Uperushoy, in other words, it's chedel. Chedel means life on this world. There is life, there is the existence of the earth, and the word cheled means the interaction of man with this world. How much longer do I have on this world? Okay, so it's pretty much the only difference between the Mitzvus and Radak is I really inject this, and maybe what I'm saying is not correct, but maybe even that's what the Mitzvus means to say, is that David, I'm suggesting that the Radak is saying that David was unable, this request, put it like this, is the request, Hodi'eni Hashem Kitzi, is this a proper request? Or is this request illegal? A violation of ethical code of conduct for an Orthodox Jew? This will tie back into the conversation that we had yesterday. Is a person who's suffering allowed to say to Hashem, Hashem, I want out. I can't handle this anymore. It's way too much. I want to die now. So I want to suggest that it all depends on how you interpret the beginning of Amarti. If you interpret Amarti means, I have a plan. I came up with a plan. My plan is, I'm not going to complain. And David executed his plan with precision. And it comes to an end at the end of Pasuk Dalet. And then Pasuk Hey is, okay, I've done mine. Now how are we going to proceed going forward? Hashem, I don't want to live anymore. Proper. Is that the pshat? I think so. I mean, that sounds pretty fair. But maybe you can say, no, Amarti means I had a plan, but I failed. I was unable to keep it all to myself. Part of being silent is not to say to Hashem, I want to die. That's all part of the plan. Amarti, I said, this is my plan. Eshmura derachai mechatoy b'lashoni, eshmura lefi machson be'oid rasha l'nedi. That's my plan. And I plan, and I fulfilled the plan in Pasuk Gimel. I did it. I Pasuk Gimel says I did the plan. I was partially successful. Ne'lamti dumia hechashesi mitoiv uchevi nichar. But as I executed my plan, my pain intensified, and it reached the breaking point. And then chamlibi bekirbi. The ship began to break apart. Behagigi tivar esh, dibarti b'lashoni, and then tivar esh kama. I failed. When it got too difficult, dibarti b'lashoni. I spoke up to Hashem and I said, Hashem, I can't take this anymore. I want to die.
How long can you keep quiet.
How long can you keep quiet? So if you learn like that, then you have no raya. You have no raya for 21st century medical ethics. Is it correct for a person to say, I'm suffering too much, don't give me any more medication, don't do anything to prolong my life, don't tell me about chayisha, don't tell me about all these religious concepts, I want out. I can't deal with this anymore, I have no future anyway, I want out.
You have to say it, or can you think it?
Well, it depends on your madrega. Is it a proper thing to think, to pray? You mispali, add into the Shemon Esher, in the article, so they should have a paragraph in Shema Koleinu, I want to die. I have a special paragraph for people, Ribbono Shel Olam, enough of this world already, I kind of want to die. Add it in, you know, they have it in gray, they put it in red. In the art scroll, sitter, case of emergency, add this into Shema Koleinu, you want out of this world. This is a very big dilemma. It's a very big dilemma. Is it one thing is for sure, you can be quiet. That's a given. No one has to pray to Hashem to live when a person is in a very, very painful situation. That's a given. Okay, no, a person is a guy says you, most Rabbanim will tell you don't pray for them at that point in time. They should live. Oh, but it says, Afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavara yishol adam al yisyo yishmin arachamim. All right, you have to know what that means. That's not necessarily a person. The person is 100 years old today, and he's in a coma, and all of his vital signs are disintegrating. So, what you're going to tell me now? Afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavar shodam al yisrosh min amirachamim. Maybe every situation is different. We're not coming over here to generalize, but. In most of these type of situations, you're going to daven. What are you davening for? Mr. Mills, you once told me, you daven now, that everything should go smoothly. Everything now, when a person dies, it's very complicated. It's very complicated when a person dies. It's very complicated in this world. What goes on in the hospitals, and the autopsy, and the funeral, and all of the whole, and all of these things affect, we don't know how this works, but we have emunah, the neshama goes through a very difficult process, a journey to go to the next world. Rav Steinman, he would criticize, I don't know if he, to what degree, when we went to a funeral, they would say, may the neshama be a melitz yosher for all of us. He would say, what are you saying? Nonsense. The neshama has his own problems now. For the next 12 months, Chazal tell us very clearly that for the next 12 months, the neshama undergoes an intense din. There are many things that are written in the big books that tell us what the neshama deals with for the first, we don't know what time means. Okay? We don't even know what time, concept of time is. The neshama has a lot on his plate for himself. Just to survive. He's not yet ready to be a Melitz Yosher for you.
It is said not even to go.
It's said by everyone. Everyone said that. This is not a practical. This is not a practical thing that I'm telling you. But he would just wake up people like, don't think that just because a person passes away, oh, he's gotten eight. We don't know what goes on over there. We don't know how all of this works. And if you want to start reading what it says, what it really says, be aware that the neshama needs you now a lot more than you need it. The neshama, when the neshama leaves a person's body, is vulnerable to a lot of serious matters. If you're a maimin, and there's a din v'cheshvan for everything you do in this world, and there's an olam haba, if you're a maimin, the neshama is in a very vulnerable state. And now is a time to say tehillim for the neshama, that whatever is going on for the neshama, Hashem should have rachamim, and it should be a smooth transition. So, ruba deruba, I remember in yeshiva, in Chaim Berlin, I learned Chaim Berlin Tarvadas. In Chaim Berlin, they very rarely would say Tehillim in the middle of Seder. Almost never. Seder was sacred. It was sacred. There's a Seder of learning. If there's an emergency, we say Tehillim after Shacharis and after Mincha and after Maariv. If there's a person in the yeshiva who is having surgery or is in a very difficult medical state, they say Tehillim. Different, sometimes a lot of Tehillim, sometimes not so much Tehillim. When? after Shacharis is over, after Mincha is over. In Torah V'das, different Mahalich. If there was someone that was very chashuv in the middle of the Seder, someone comes in, was saying to Hillel now, one of the Rebbeim, one of the Talmidim, is having surgery. It's a very, very difficult matzah. We are saying Tehillim, and they would say Tehillim, and sometimes they would mamish, they would say a lot of Tehillim with the names and all these different things. You know what happened most of the time, 99% of the time? These people died. If they got it ready to the matzah already, when they were saying Tehillim in the middle of Seder, 99% of the time, by second Seder, they already left this world. So why are you saying Tehillim? Because of Al Yisyoish, obviously not. In many situations, it's the neshama is now leaving this world. The doctors have called the family together. The neshama is leaving this world. It is our tradition that when the neshama leaves this world, it needs a lot of rachamim. Because the transition, we have no idea what goes on. But we have emunas chachamim that the neshama is now in a vulnerable state, and it needs rachamim to go through that transition, and that's primarily why you say Tehillim in many, not all. And when there's hope, then you pray that Hashem should guide the hand of the doctors and fill them with wisdom to do the right thing to save the person of a refuah shlema. But when a person is 100 years old and it's over, then the Tehillim is a different type of Tehillim. So David over here, how are we getting over here, going in the same conversation? So David over here, I'm trying to interpret this passage according to the way the Radak seems to say is, there's a sequence of events here. David over here made a plan. Amarti, here is my plan. I'm not going to complain not to man, and I'm not going to open my mouth and complain to Hashem. That's my plan. That is Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, I succeeded partially. I implemented my plan. But the more I implemented my plan, the worse it got. The nisoyin got more and more difficult. Pasuk Dalet, I got to the breaking point. And the end of Pasuk Dalet says, I broke. I cracked up. Dibarti bilishoini. And I opened my mouth, and this was a violation of my plan, and this is a sin. What I say to Hashem, Hashem, I want to die. Now, if you learn the psukim like this, that means a person is never allowed to say, I want to die. Never. Yimakabel. Now, is everyone in the Baal Madrega that can succeed in this? That's none of our business. Not everyone is able to do it. But theoretically, do we have a makor from this maisa of David that a person lichatchila is permitted at a time of nisoyon of tsar to say, Hashem, please, please, I want to die? No, because if we read the psukim and it really flows very well, I have a plan, I executed it, but as I executed it, it got more and more difficult, and then I got to the breaking point, and then I cracked up. And I violated the plan. You have no raya. David HaMelech is a human being. He made mistakes. He had nisyonos that he couldn't handle. Rabbi Reisen would love this idea, because Rabbi Reisen says that people say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives you a nisyon that you can handle is apikorsis. I heard him say that. The Olam says, Hashem only gives you a nisyon that you can handle. He doesn't test you above what you can do. Rabbi Reisman says it's very nice, and there's a lot of truth to it. You can't generalize. But in its purest form, it's apikorsis. Who are you to limit Hashem? Hashem has no limits. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Hashem can bring upon you a soil that you can't handle. Oh, how could that be? That's how it is. Hashem is infinite. We don't understand. We are not privileged to understand the workings of Hashem. Don't ever do anything in Judaism where you come to limit Hashem's ability of what he could do and cannot do. We don't kiloy machshevoisai machshevoisechem. Our knowledge, our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. So don't, we have emunah, we have Taryag Mitzvahs, we have Emunah, we have instructions, and that's it. And it comes a certain point where you have to surrender before Hashem. Now, there are times that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person nisyonos, you can see it, lefi his koichos, 100%. But as a statement that this is an absolute statement, who says? According to this interpretation, David failed. Hashem gave David a nisoyon that he could not handle. Hashem gave him a nisoyon that he could not handle, and he failed. Is he guilty for failing? No, not guilty for failing. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. No, it is what it is. You're oynes, rachmona patre. Everyone knows the halacha. If a person is presented with avodah zarah, gil yarayis shvichas damim. What is the halacha? You have an obligation to give up your life, not to be nichshol in avodah zarah, gil yarayis shvichas damim. Let's say a person comes over to another, a guy comes over to a Jew and says, if you don't bow down to the idol, I will kill you. Bow down to the idol, I'll kill you. And the Jew, he's terrified. And he bows down to the idol.
How many people can cope with
that? Very few. Be honest, very few. He bows down to the idol. Now, the next day, he comes to shul. Oh, I have your tzayit today. Can you give me an aliyah? You? Give you an aliyah? You're an oivir avoid zarah. You were mechoyev. You were mechoyev to give up your life. You avarian. You rasha merusha. Get out of here! How dare you walk into shul? Wrong. You give him an aliyah. Give me a shakoyach. Make a kiddush for him. You drink tikkun. Oynis rachmona patre. He was terrified. He's only a human being. He couldn't be. He was mechoyev to give up his life. He failed. No? So everything you do in life is right? He failed. It was a nisoyonis rachmana patre. You're supposed to give up your life. That's what the Torah wants from you. But if you fail, does that mean that's it? You add the chutz l'machaneh? Not in this case. If you had nothing to lose, you're dealing with other things, then you want to, the person goes and he marries a non-Jew. That's different. As long as you're married to a non-Jew, you can't get an aliyah. Not in our shul. Maybe in other shuls. But not in our shul. Okay, that's a complicated. As long as you're that's a red, because you know there are no other women out there in the world you can marry. You have to only marry a non-Jew. This is already, it's a different type of avera. But when a person is presented with pachat, like this, oynis rachmona patre, you're not accountable, even though you should have done this. According to the interpretation, David failed. The whole Sefer, the whole David's life is about failures. Hashem gave me a nisoyon. My plan was the right thing to do theoretically. Shtoik. But you know something? I couldn't handle it. I broke. I cracked up. And I said to Hashem disgraceful words. I said to Hashem, I want to die. Hashem gave me the gift of life. I want to throw it away. That's a sin. Is David held accountable? No. What do you want from him? He was tortured. But if you learn the pshat and the pasuk, it's David over here is talking, I have a plan, and I executed the plan, and I got to a breaking point, and everything was good. Then, when I had halftime, okay, Super Bowl, during the break, I began to reflect. And I spoke to Hashem in a respectful manner, which is permissible. Then the statement that you can learn from the Radak and the Mitzvot David is a correct. David did not fail. How do you learn Shalom the Pasuk? Is this a sequence of events? Things lead up, and here David cracked up. It seems that is the pshat, because you see this is a very unique style. You have this. You actually had this in the Torah last week, in the parasha, where the last two words of the previous pasuk really belong in the next pasuk. You have this every so often. This is not so rare. It's a style. It's a style of writing in the Torah and in the Vim Ksuvim, where it says here dibarti belibi is really part of the next pasuk. Dibarti bilashoni chaydi eni Hashem kitzi. Why didn't David put those words in the next pasuk? And the answer is, if it would have put it in the next pasuk, it would sound like that David is saying something very polite. By putting this in dibarti bilashoni as it is in connected to cham li bikir bi bagigi tivar eish, it's like saying basically, I cracked up, and I could not control myself. And what did I say in violation? By putting these two words in the previous pasuk dalet, it leans to a flavor of cracking up. I said I'm going to be quiet. I was. It got too much to bear. I cracked up and dibarti bilashoni. What then did I say in violation? The next words. If you would want to say it's a polite statement, it would seem to put the words dibarti bilashoni as the beginning of the next pasuk. So then it'll be, so you really have no raya, you have no raya from this pasuk that indeed it is correct for a person to request directly from Hashem to die. You would have to learn the sukkim that David was not able to be oimed in this nisayon, and he says something which is not proper, and he's not to blame. Kol oimed David chota ein elatoye. Person suffers to such an extreme, what do you expect? Okay, we'll stop here, take a short break. Learn some things about Shofar, some other interesting things about Shofar today, after we come back in a few moments.